Morning. I don't know if those of you who have spoken before ever find yourself at a place where the last thing you want to be doing on a Sunday morning is preaching. I don't often have those times, but I'm feeling that today, and I just want to be honest with you, because it's just real life, right? And as Jenna said, it's been a long month. It's been kind of wearying, and it just feels like it's been a kind of like lack of sleep for like a whole month, so definitely dragging myself in today, but I'm really glad to be here. I feel, as Jenna said, the more that we're not here, the more empty I feel, and the more like I need rejuvenated by just being with you. And I really don't know where this message will go. I'm not really sure fully where I'm going to go with it or what the Lord wants to do with it. But I will say it was kind of inspired by a little bit of what Jenna said last weekend. And it really just kind of takes on a furtherance of what we've really been discussing for a few months. And for those of you who attended our Sunday night gatherings, and we talked for a couple weeks, and we were discussing, remember me and Nick and Linda and Jenna were talking, and one of the words that came up as kind of overlapping everything was community. And my heart, I've been at this church for over 10 years now, and I think I've been stuck at 8 years in my head forever, and then Prangers told me they've been here about 10, and I'm like, well, I was here right at the same time, so it's got to be about 10 years. But one of the things that my heart hungered for before I found this church and what I prayed was, I want to be somewhere where I'm going to grow spiritually, but really what I want is a community. I want a family. And honestly, the church has changed so much. Honestly, 90% of who's here was not here 10 years ago. Our church has completely changed. Our church family has grown, but it has shifted. The age has just shifted. I think it was about 5 years ago I was talking to the board, and I was like, man, we need some babies born in this church because we're getting an older congregation. I said, we don't have any babies born. We're just not going to exist in a couple decades. And look at us now. And it's just really cool to see who God has brought in from where and how each of you arrived. But that was something that on and off, I was like, Lord, more than anything else, my heart hungers for community. I said, I don't really care about what else I get at Corona. I just want to be in a family. And I'll be honest, there's times that I have not felt that. And that's not your fault. That's not particularly an individual. It's just there's been seasons that it's like I come. And I'm like, I'm here. I'm doing my part. And I go home and just go about my life. But there's also been wonderful seasons, and particularly recently, that I'm starting to feel that more and more, that fulfillment and that joy. And one of the questions I was thinking, and I'll put to you, and I was just kind of working through it this week, more as an encouragement, but the question I want to ask you to just kind of think about, and maybe if you just want to think about it for the week, is why you're here this morning. And I asked myself this week is, why do I go to Corona? Not just Corona, why do I go to church every Sunday? And I'm a pastor. For those of you who don't know, I'm a pastor, so I probably shouldn't be asking that question because it's just what I do, right? I come to church and oftentimes preach. I meet with a bunch of pastors once a month, and one of the biggest things that we discuss every time, their concerns, their prayer requests, is one thing. Where are our members, and why aren't they here, and how do we get them back? And I'm always sitting there, and I'm like, I'm always discouraged by this discussion because I'm like, well, if they're not there, you're not going to get them back because they don't want to be there. And I won't say that, but that's what I think every time is they're like, our members have left. They're not coming back. This person's not coming. I don't know if they're hurt. I don't know if they don't want to be here. Why they don't want to be here? How do I reamp that? How do we just do something in our service that draws them back? And I'm over here going to pastor. I'm just thinking in my head, for some reason, they're not getting what they want. And that may not be your fault. That may not be your church's fault. I don't know. But I don't think the right question is, where are they and why aren't they coming back particularly, or how do I get them back? My question would be, why aren't they there now? And so I asked myself that question, why am I here? And I really prayed about that this week. I didn't come to some massive revelation for you, but I was really thinking about the New Testament church. And I was thinking about the fact that when the church is born and the way that it looks, it talks about the kind of fellowship they have, and I was going to read that a little later, but it's very evident and very clear to me that the church, when it was formed, meaning the body of Christ, it was life-giving and life-sustaining, and it was an absolute essential part of everyday life. And again, there's a lot of attacks on the American church. You know what? Honestly, we could probably go global, but I just, this is our country. And one of the things that I envisioned this week, it was not a actual vision, it was just I was sitting there thinking of how many churches I've attended where we've shown up every week and everyone comes in, they sit, they do their part, they participate in the singing, we listen to the sermon, we go home, and that is the extent of what church has been for us. And again, this is not an attack on Sunday mornings. I just told you I'm here because I want to be here. But I have come to a conclusion that the reason I'm here is not because it's my duty. In fact, I'm going to be honest to those of you who preach and to myself, I listen to some great sermons throughout the week on podcasts, guys who are much more seasoned than the rest of us, who have dedicated their entire lives to preaching sermons. And I get so much meat from that. I get so much fulfillment. I listen to some of the most powerful music during the week. So I'm going to be honest, I don't need today for that. And I don't say that negatively. You know what? I love hearing you guys. Actually, I feel more connected because you're real. You're here. I'm not connected to these other guys that are preaching. But the reason I want to express that is, so I had to ask myself, why am I here then? If I don't need the sermon, if I don't need the worship, because believe me, we don't sing as good as some of the other churches out there that have their own choir. If I don't need any of that, why am I here? And the reason I conclude is because I'm here for you, and you're here for me. And how much my soul needs you. And Revelation 21, as I said, I wrote down some passages. My Bible's upside down. Here you go, Revelation 21. Just want to kind of open us up this morning. And verse 3, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" The reason I wanted to read that is because you and I were made and created for community. And I believe that the community that God wants to have with us is often reflected in the community that he desires between one another. We weren't meant to be isolated. We weren't meant to be alone. I go back to the American church, and that's not every church. I'm not going to lump in every church. I've been to some churches, including this church, in many ways, where I feel like we got it, and we're getting there, and we're really learning what that looks like to be the body of Christ. But I've also been to many, many, many churches where it has become just a traditional part of my week. And I would actually, I'm not going to do this, but I bet I could go down the row at each church in the United States this week and say, what is your reason for being here this morning? And I, if everyone is absolutely honest, I really wanted the answer. It's just what we do, right? What do you think of doing other than going to church on Sunday? I think that's the normal thing that we think of. I grew up, I was raised in church. Every Sunday morning we went to church, I came. And if you would ask me when I was a kid why I came, it's because mom and dad brought me to church. If you had asked me if I wanted to be there, I would have said no, I would rather be at home doing playing toys or something else. And over time, I learned to grow. Other reasons why I attended church was because I had a position, I had something that I needed to prepare for, to bring. But honestly, now the reason I come is simply because I want to be with other believers. It is a deep heart thing. But I want to get away from my own heart from thinking that I need to be in church because I'm doing some sort of favor for God. It's for me. But if that is all I have is this Sunday morning, then I am greatly lacking. And it's something that, as I said, it was inspired by last week. But as I said, it's interesting because last weekend I was skiing and Jenna was supposed to have a dear friend come. Couldn't because of the weather. And you guys heard my sermon the last time those of you were here when I talked about the Good Shepherd. And I remember I talked about our goats and particularly Jenna's goats and I couldn't even name them. Since then, she's felt so frustrated with me about that sermon, not frustrated, but she's been trying to teach me the names. She's going to probably rebuke me for saying that. It wasn't exactly frustrated, but she's been trying to get me to finally memorize their names. Well, last week, out of the five goats, my favorite goat got sick. The only one I really actually care about, you know, personally, that actually likes me in return. And while I was skiing, I get a call from Jenna or a text, and she says, Danny's sick. And remember, that's the only name I remembered was Danny, so that's how I care about that goat. And she said, he's sick, he's not eating, I'm not sure what's going on, he's groaning in the corner, and she's like, what should I do? And I'm in the mountains of Colorado going, I don't know what's wrong with him, and I don't know what to do. And I said, you know, just try to make him comfortable. She said, should I wait, you know, to see if he recovers? And I said, just give it a day. The next morning, nothing had really changed. And I'm feeling very stuck because I'm not as concerned about the goat, but I'm very concerned about my wife. And I'm feeling frustrated because I'm in the mountains having a good time with friends and family, and she's at home. Her friend's not there. My mom is out of state, and so all is my dad who works, and then our neighbor who's, we never know who's home, and I'm like, my wife's stuck at home, and she has no help, and so she says, should I have your dad take care of it? And I knew that for her to say that was really difficult, and I said, give it a night, and if he needs to, I'll call him and tell him to come take care of the goat. Well, come to find out, she tells me that Dr. Scott and Stephanie had come and taking a look at him, giving him some pain medication, and said, we'll keep an eye on it. And then towards the end, she said that they decided that they were going to euthanize him, and Scott came and did that. I found out this morning that Scott and Steph had actually been on their way to date night. I'm saying this because I want to publicly thank you. But they were on their way to a date night, about to go in their restaurant, and they get a call from Jenna, who's brokenhearted and is hurting, and they go and take care of the goat instead. Now, I imagine knowing Scott and Steph that they don't really think that was that big of a deal, but for me, it meant everything, because I was not able to be there for my wife, and I knew how much this was going to hurt her. And when I got home, I felt so tired from just skiing, but I also was just weary and grieved because she had had a rough weekend. But no, this is fun. We're not watching or anything. No. It had been a long weekend. I got home, and Jenna told me that her parents, who live 5 hours away, and my father-in-law, who is very busy scheduled with work, had, when they found out about the goat and they knew that her friend wasn't coming and I was gone, jumped in the car, drove all the way to be with her for the weekend. My dad had also jumped in, and he ended up burying the goat for her. And I came home feeling just weary, but also such a joy for the people in my life, and realized how much I appreciated something that seems simple to everyone else. That's like, well, that's just what we do. It's just a bar. I felt like I could fall into tears. And Scott and Steph, that meant the world to me that you were there for my wife. And it inspired today because I was like, that is real community. That's the church. It's not what happens in here. The proof of the body of Christ is not how many members are in here or what we do Sunday mornings, but the strength of us is shown outside of these four walls. And that is the purpose in the body of Christ. And I had written down a lot of scripture. I'm not actually going to read all of it today. I'm just going to give you some passages. In fact, I remember preaching a sermon with some of these passages, and it went a different direction. But I want to just kind of say what they are. Romans 16, 1 through 16. 1 Corinthians 16, 10 through 24. Ephesians 6, 21 through 24. Colossians 4, 7 through 18. You're like, I can't write these down. You don't have to. I'm reading them, saying those to you, because if I were to read them, you'd probably fall asleep. And me and Jenna had this discussion this week. If you were to go read those, they are the endings of letters that Paul wrote. And it was one of the things that I came to that realization just this last year that I had never thought of in my whole life, is that at the end of these letters was written greetings to who? And most of them are names that Scott can't pronounce, as he loves trying to do. He always gets stuck with the names. And yet what Paul is doing, he gives this letter, he gives all of this instruction, this encouragement, and he says, now my greetings to you. And he names out names of people that most of them, you and I, don't know, we'll never know, most of us don't care. And the reason I bring that up is because these were people that were not simply receivers of a letter, but were partakers in the everyday life of Paul. We look at Paul and we're encouraged by his life and we think of all the things he did, and yet Paul understood that he wasn't going at it alone. He said, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. They were there for me. When you come to visit me in prison, will you bring me the letters? Will you bring me my cloak? Will you bring me these things? And then he talks about this man who had been his friend in one letter, and then many letters later, he writes to a different church. He says, my friend, and I can't think of it top of my head, but he said, he's forsaken me, forsaken the Lord, and loving this present world has left. There is grief in this. Because Paul was impacted by the people around him. They had an impact on his ministry. And most of us, all we do is we read the letter and we say, what are the instructions for me? And we fail to realize that he's talking to a people and saying, I want to encourage you to continue in what you know, what you've become assured of. This is your family. This is his family. And Paul has deep feelings. Have you ever written a letter to someone and wrote about that kind of greeting to them? Remember to tell them how much I care for them, what they were a help to me in this time, the time that I was there at this part of the body when I had no money. Paul says this, he's like, I didn't have any money, you were there, you showed up, you gave me to me when no one else did, and you helped further my journey. Those are things, we don't know those stories. We don't know really that connection. And yet those are the writings. But you and I could easily write the same letter today and I could fill it with names in here of the relationships of honestly, who I am today is very much due to many people in this church and the part you've played in my life. And, I always think of my mom really understood what hospitality and community really looked like. She always had a heart for people that had no community. I've always been surrounded by people that love. I had have a family that loves me. You realize how much your family can be your community? Sometimes we think mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, that's their job. They raised us, they love. No, they're community. Last week, I did not look at my in-laws as in-laws. I looked at them as a community of brothers and sisters in Christ who met me where I needed them. And I saw them in a different light. But my mom very much, every single Thanksgiving for a long season was very much about there are people out there that have no family, they have no friends, they're not part of a church family, or they are, but they're not very close to them. And she was very intentional about finding those families who had no community, and she'd invite them all over for Thanksgiving. So it was the Siegel family and a bunch of other families that had no connection to each other and yet had nowhere to go. I remember very clearly a Valentine's Day that, if any of you saw my Facebook, I hate Valentine's. Let's just be clear, I hate Valentine's. But my mom knew there was a lot of young single adults who were alone, who wanted to be married. And I remember as a teenager, my mom had a Valentine's Day banquet at her house where she invited a bunch of young singles, not with the intent to bring them together or matchmake, but to let them know that they weren't forgotten. And she had prepared a special meal for them, special thoughts for them, and a little lesson, and just a time of fellowship. These are the things that the body of Christ does for one another, because that's true relationship, that's true community. Ray actually read it this morning when we prayed for the service, and Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and more as you see the day approaching. I think oftentimes we, as a church, not our church, but as a church in America, we often get the, let's not give up meeting one with another, right? Let's make sure we meet with one another. But this is one of those instances that I don't think it is the letter of the law, it's the spirit of the law. What was the spirit there? Do not fail to be with the believers around you. And honestly, I could absolutely accept if today we all concurred that the best thing for us was to lock the doors, sell the church, and just start going to one another's home. That would honestly be fine. And I'm not suggesting that we do that or we have a meeting now where we decide to shut the church doors. My point is, if all this means is to meet with one another, we don't have to come here. It's just where we've chosen. But as everyone in this room knows, what you are like with your closest community, what you are like with your family really doesn't look the same as it does in here, right? And I don't know how we get there. I don't know how to have that relationship in this room. And maybe it's never going to take place in the here, but it has to somehow transition to something out there. and is the only way that you and I will prosper. My my mom, or my stepmom, but I don't call her stepmom. My mom is Ukrainian, and she came from, her family was under communistic leadership of Stalin. She wasn't particularly, but her grandparents well remember the time of Stalin. And the church at that time in Ukraine was under Russia's leadership, and the Christian church could not go to college. You weren't allowed to get an education. Your job options were very limited because you could not get a government job because you were a believer. And if you ascribed to that, you were very limited in what you were able to do. And if you were to ask her, she'd say the church became an absolute essential role to one another because they needed one another in those times. The New Testament church needed each other, but it says, and I was going to read it, but Acts 2, 42 through 47 talks about this. It says that they committed themselves to what? The breaking of bread, a time of worship, a time of fellowship, a time of prayer. This is how the New Testament church lived, where there was a deep personal relationship that was just as close as family, if not closer. It said they broke bread together, they worshiped together, and oftentimes died with one another. And so one of the things I've prayed about for the last couple of years was like, Lord, are we ready for that? Do I have that relationship with my church family? That I'm willing to break bread with them, that I'm willing to fellowship and worship with them, to meet up with them outside of the body? Am I willing to die with one of them? And perhaps a lot of what it sounds like today is just me rambling, but it is a heart thing that's just been rumbling around here is I want more for us, but I want more for me. I don't want to have my cliques in this body. I know there's a good chunk of you that I have not made the time to really get to know, and me and Jenna have really set in our hearts that we really want to get to know you fully, to know your heart. I understand we're not always going to be in each other's inner groups, but there is a relationship depth that I want to get to. And that I want to know some of you. I want to know all of you as much as I can. A true community offers encouragement, a place of unloading, a place of joy and peace. It's a safe place, a place of repentance, a place of reproofing. Wouldn't it be nice to get to a place in this church family that we have a safe place of repentance? And we're getting there. That freedom that we feel like we can trust one another to share our hearts. You see this in the New Testament so many times. It says, therefore, encourage one another with these things. Encourage one another. As you see that day approaching, more and more encouragement, build each other up. I truly believe with all my heart that there is coming a time, if not now, and it is growing, that we will need each other more and more, and it's a good time to start practicing that. Start practicing real community, and I've seen some of you in particular, even more than me, have stepped up and started doing that, and I'm grateful for it. The times that I have grown the most in my faith has never been here, and I've mentioned that before, is that I don't want today to be a rebuking of the church building. It's just a thing. It's just a place. But the times of growth have never been on Sunday morning when I've sat here and just listened to a few people or sang a few songs. It's been the times I've sat around a table hearing the hearts of people, sharing my struggles, sharing my heart, sharing my burdens, and hearing other people's burdens, and urging one another on in our faith. And that has to start happening. And I need to start doing it. I am probably most guilty for not doing that. A place of community is butchering chickens with Ray and Sandy. It's having Ethiopian food over at the Taylor's, and it's riding horses with the Snyders. I remember particularly eating a coconut with Nick Pranger. It was the first time I really got to know him. I spent probably the first 6 years of their time here really not knowing anything about Nick Pranger. In fact, I was a little intimidated by him. And I was like, I'd like to know that guy, but I really don't know how to have a relationship with him because I usually shake his hand, greet him, and go sit back down and know nothing more about him. And God brought us together in Sierra Leone, and I got to sit and eat a coconut with him, hear a little more about him. I like coconuts, so I enjoyed it. But I also remember sitting with Nick while we were waiting on Ray. He was in trying to dicker about supplies, and me and him were sitting in a truck talking about the Lord in certain passages of Scripture, and I got to really see Nick's heart. And I remember coming home and saying, I'm Nick's friend now. Like, I know Nick. And this is a different depth that I've ever had. It's something I've always longed for. It's B-Dubs with Nick and Ethan. Many, many wonderful times with Nick and Ethan at B-Dubs. Might even be taking a walk with Brenda across the bridge. It's an extended invite from Matt to go hunting or owl spotting with him, which I intend to collect at some point. I could go on, but honestly, the fact that I can't even get any longer is really a sad thing to me, is because I really want more experiences with many of you, and I haven't had them, and partly that's my fault. But that is how I am encouraged. And I know there's probably some of you in here like, I'd be very content to never come out of my house again and have to be in a community. But I'm a very extroverted person. But even if you are the most introverted person in the room, you weren't created to be alone or isolated. And I always think, if I crave that, how many more people around me are also craving it and need of it? So that is the ramblings of my Sunday morning sermon. This is not a traditional one for sure. And I know it's been a long week for me, but most of these thoughts have been flowing in and out, and I haven't come to a firm conclusion on all of them. But I don't want to give up meeting together. I just want it to go deeper. And I want to know you more, because I believe that the more I know you, the more I'm encouraged to follow the Lord more. And I pray that for all of us. And I guess, as I often do, is I want to just leave us with a challenge, and you can do whatever you want with it, but pray that the Lord would put people on your heart to reach out to make a part of your community, to just love them. It's not a religious thing. It's not about getting them into this building. Honestly, I always joke about that, because growing up, that was the big thing. The congregation, not here, but at my former church, it was always about making sure that our church grew. Go out and find people, bring your friends, bring your family, get them in the church, get them in the church, get them in the church. And I'm like, honestly, like, the least amount of fellowship I get is in this building, then honestly, where I want to get them is in my home and your home. And if they come here, that's just an added bonus. I don't care if this building ever grows, or if these pews ever get even more filled, but I do care about who's in these pews. And I'm grateful for you. And I have a deep affection for each of you. And honestly, that's what brings me back every Sunday, is because I have this need to be with others in fellowship. And it is a challenge for me that me and Jen are praying about. As I said, like, that is a personal thing, but it's something that's strong within me. I want to get to know you more. We need each other. And I think down the road it'll be very clear that we need each other. So let's pray and commit our day and our week to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you wanted us to know you fully. But Father, you gave us a family. And Father, you brought us together, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for the hearts of everyone in this room. That, Lord, the deep longing that we have, Lord, for fellowship and community, Lord, would grow stronger. And that, Lord, you'd each use each of us, Lord, to meet that need in the hearts of another. Father, it's not a building. And Lord, it might take years and years and years for us to remember that and to weed that out. But Lord, it is a people. And you said that wherever we are, wherever two or three are gathered, Lord, there you will be. And Father, I pray that we would be a community to those around us, that we love one another, we'd spur each other on in faith, that we would grow, Lord, in our love for others. Father, just have your way. Whatever you want to speak today, Lord, even if it has nothing to do with what was mentioned up here, Lord, have your way in our hearts. Give us put someone in our lives this week that we can grow in relationship with, that we can encourage, that we can build up. Speak to us, Father. Put people in our hearts. We love you, Lord. We give you all praise. Thank you for our church family, Lord. And we go in your blessing and in your guidance and in your mercy, Lord, in your name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good week.